Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41 say this. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. A furious squall. That's just a storm. I don't know why they couldn't say storm. It's just fancier. A squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. So he pre-planned this. He brought a pillow with him, with the foreknowledge that a storm was coming, had every intention of taking a nap. The disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" So Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, waves, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Amen. How good is that, man? That's a story about a storm and a savior. Today, I want to talk about the storm in your mind, because I believe just like Jesus told that storm to be still, he can also tell this storm to be still and take you from a brainstorm, if you will, to a sound mind. After all, it is a promise from God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. My season might be a little stormy. My circumstances might be crazy. It might even be an election year. But God has given me a sound mind. So turn to a neighbor around you and give him the title of this message. Neighbor, I've got a sound mind. And so do you. And if you have any room, any seats, scoot in before you sit. Scoot in, fill all of the chairs in this room, and sit down. We got more people trickling in. We want to make this as easy on our ushers as we can. Ryan, get up here, man. Jesse, can we get this guy's...
Thanks, guys.
There we go. It's my little brother. And
we're kind of dressed the same today, Doug.
Yeah.
What happened?
We wanted to, we know mom's watching this. Will you guys make some noise for our mom? Mom, we love you.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Happy Mother's Day.
We love you so much. We would not be doing this without you. Thank you for all the prayers.
Thank you for all the wisdom. And thanks for always matching us every time you bought outfits. So love you, bro.
Hey, good luck, bro.
Hey, thanks, man. Love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms, all the women in our church, man. I just believe you're made in the image of God. The feminine heart from the more nurturing side of that spirit all the way to the ferocity of a mama bear and everything in between. You are after the heart of God. You make our church better. We honor you today. And happy Mother's Day to my mom. My mom has... over the years, she has dropped specific phrases into my life that have changed me. Phrases that still today, as a grown man, she still texts me on the reg. That's short for regular. All the time. She texts me phrases like, "Sweetheart, don't sweat the small stuff." And in light of eternity, it's all small stuff. It's all small stuff. If I get like a mean review or a comment or a DM or something like that, and I happen to be with my mom at the time, like she will, you know, my wife will go mama bear and go, "Send me an address, I'll cut somebody right now." My mom kind of goes the perspective route, and almost like she makes it so much smaller because she'll just kind of smile and maybe even laugh and go, "Oh, sweetheart, you got bigger fish to fry than that. You're made for such a time as this. I prayed that God would make you mighty in the land." That is a waste of your time. Any comment section, kind of just an easy and cheap way for critics to feel a little bit of power just for a moment. You got bigger fish to fry, sweetheart. All these phrases. She has quoted Cougar from the original Top Gun. "I'm holding on too tight. I've lost the edge." Sweetheart, lots of sweethearts. "Don't hold on too tight. You're losing the edge. You're made for such a time as this. In light of eternity, it's all the small stuff." And truly, you know how God can change your life with a phrase. You might be here today Because God has one phrase that is yours. And it's not just going to be information that makes you smarter. It's going to be revelation that gets into your heart and transforms you, that you take with you. Just one phrase. And I could keep listing all the phrases my mom has given me. But here's the thing. If I want to live like any of them are true, it all hinges on me agreeing that they're true. Because if I don't agree that it's true, we might as well stop there. The first step to living it is agreeing with it. And nowhere is this more true than with a sound mind. That you have not been given the spirit of fear, you have instead been given power, love, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It is truth that you simply agree with. You agree with. Jesus is trying to align you with his kingdom. I said this a few weeks ago that I think the kingdom of heaven's kind of like this current in the ocean. And we spend our lives crossing our proverbial oceans all in our own strength, when all the while there are rhythms of grace and a current of truth Jesus is trying to align us with, if you will. And part of aligning, when it comes to a sound mind, aligning looks like agreeing. Agreeing? Yep. Agreeing. Agreeing with what? Truth. Scripture. Regardless of your feelings. If you're anything like me, your feelings graph looks like this. All day. Every day. And if you're not careful, you'll associate and make the mistake of thinking God is that same graph, when he is not. There is a feelings graph, and feelings aren't false, they're informative. And they're important, they have their place. It's just not the same seat that truth belongs in. Because behind that graph, don't be deceived by your highs and lows, for behind that graph is another graph called truth, and it looks like this. And it is steady, and it doesn't change from generation to generation, that just like God, it stays the same through the ages. That God's got you, and that's not correlated on your imperfect, inconsistent performance, but rather his consistency. He is always constant, even when we're not. And simply just agreeing with that truth, part of maturing as a Christian, I choose to live by what I know to be true, regardless of how I feel. It's one of the hardest things about life, following Jesus. I feel this way this morning, but there's something that's more true than that. And as you begin simply to agree with truth, your feelings start to get in line behind it. And slowly but surely start to mimic what truth is. And when it comes to mental health, I believe this is one key component that a lot of us are missing. That your secret, your key today is just agreeing with something that is already true about you. You have been given right now a sound mind. It is not a destination that might as well be on the other side of the proverbial ocean of life from where you are today. It is a current that is right here and right now. It's not a place around the corner. It's a promise of God for you to practice. It's not a goal. It's a gift. And you receive it simply by way of agreement. You have not been given a spirit of fear. A spirit of fear. Let's expand on that. The spirit of anxiety. The spirit of worry, indecision, apprehension, trepidation. I feel like the spirit of fear, by and large, is the current state of mind of an entire nation and generation we find ourselves in. It just looks a little bit different from person to person. Maybe for you, the spirit of fear looks like panic attacks. Maybe it looks like hopelessness or despair or suicidal thoughts. Maybe the spirit of fear looks like a survival mindset. Just trying to get through this day or this season. I'm just trying to survive what I'm going through. Maybe it looks like confusion about your God-given identity or intimidation to be confused by it that leads to insecurity. Maybe for you, it's a discouragement or a disappointment with life and how it's turned out. That has led to a sadness that turned into a quiet anger that has now manifested itself as depression. Or maybe it's just like this chronic, all the time, low-grade humming anxiety Low grade, just chronic fatigue that is now your new normal. The spirit of fear. And statistics show that Christians in Western cultures are experiencing it just as much as everybody else. And we take issue with that at Red Rocks. Why? Because God has not given that. Now, you might feel it, but it's not because he gave it. You have been given power, love, and a sound mind. And if I'm talking to you at all, 11 minutes into this message, here's what I just want to do before we go any further. I want to quote over you in almost a prophetic way. And when I say a prophetic way, all I mean is let's tell your future about God's promise. But this is a quote from Attacking Anxiety from our senior pastor, Sean Johnson. If I'm talking to you at all, look right at me. You are not crazy. You are not alone. And in Jesus' name, this will end. You're not crazy. You're not alone. And in Jesus' name, this will end. Whatever your this is, in Jesus' name, it's not going to feel this way forever. There is another side that is calling you. In fact, I think that's the first point that we see in the story that we read. This will be on the screen behind me. That you're not alone, and the other side is calling you. Verse 35, let's read it again. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let us. So not you by yourself hop in a boat and cross this lake. Let us together and with Jesus go over to the other side. So the lake you're crossing is not a life sentence, it is a season. And if you are in a brainstorm right now, God wanted me to say to you, there is something on the other side that is worth going through this storm for. So if we could just have real talk just for a moment, because we're a real church and these are the real stats of real people just like me and just like you. The CDC has claimed that 50% of Americans at some point in their lives will be diagnosed with a mental health illness or disorder. So first of all, you're not alone. But second, 50%. So that's either you or somebody that you love. And then, and this stat's going to shift the atmosphere in the room, every day in our country, 3,703 high schoolers on average attempt suicide. I'm just like, that's a whole generation that the enemy is not just stealing from, but literally trying to kill. That is not okay. That's the reason our friend Corey Miller, who wrote the worship song Sound Mind that we're going to sing after this message, he said the reason he wrote it was to prophetically, once again, speak the truth of God over an entire generation that is being robbed from. So let me just shout this to you, maybe louder than the demons that you hear are trying to destroy you. You are not alone. Jesus said, let us cross. Let us cross. You're not alone. And I trust me, I know storms are so dark. The storm you're in right now might be so dark. And you might be thinking, there's no way I could relate to it or begin to understand. And you might be right. Trust me, I am not trying to slap a Band-Aid on a wound that needs surgery. I have tried that. It doesn't work. I have had well-meaning Christians offer me oversimplified half-truth solutions to very complicated things. This is not cold comfort. I'm not trying to hand you a cliche and go, that should do it. This is real. What you're going through is hard. All I'm saying is, with so much confidence, I can tell you, you are not as alone as you think in Jesus' name. Even in this room right now, there are others who can empathize. Erwin McManus said, empathy, the highest form of human intelligence there is. There are others who can empathize with your storm. I'm telling you, your storm, once again, let's tell your future about God's promise. Your storm will become a story that will be part of somebody else's survival kit one day. But you gotta endure. You gotta keep going. You gotta get to the good part. You know how when people tell you about a new TV show and they say you just got to endure through the not so good parts to get to the good, and you're like, well, how long is that? They're like, oh, just like 2.5 seasons. I'm like, what? How much time do people have? 2.5 seasons? You got to get to the good part. You gotta stay connected, get plugged in, plant yourself in the house of the Lord. There's a difference between being close by and getting connected. You can be alone in a crowded room. You can be isolated or have a sound mind, but you cannot do both at the same time. Stay close. Get connected. People can empathize. I just feel it, man, in my spirit, even right now, in this room, in overflow, maybe 25 people who just this week you have thought about taking your life. And you're probably not going to do it, but you just think about it, you know? And I'm just, it's not going to be this way forever. This is not a sentence. It is a season. And trust me, I understand if this is the point that needs to get in your heart. I thought all week, what is the combination of words in the right order I could string together to communicate this, to change your life, for you to believe it? God, do I shout it? Do I whisper it? What's my posture? What's my tone? When at the end of the day, something supernatural just needs to take place. And so before we go any further, God, I just pray that you would take these words and do what communication cannot. Would you get this into the hearts of those who need this? Like healing balm for a soul. That might not change a storm, but it does change everything happening in their boat and in their mind. God, would you give hope to those who need hope? In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I'm telling you, in Jesus' name, you haven't met the future you yet. And in Jesus' name, you haven't seen the best part of your life yet. You gotta live, you gotta endure, you gotta keep going. Your storm will become a story that one day will be part of somebody else's survival kit. We call it a testimony. We need you in the game. Storms are dark, none of them are permanent. Spring comes after winter every year. I guess this is Austin. A crisp fall comes after summer that feels like hell every single year. Fall's coming. You gotta, how would Adele say it? Hello from your other side. You gotta see the future you. You gotta meet the future you, man. You gotta live. You gotta keep going. I love how this story begins by saying it was evening, not morning. Evening, as in it's dark and getting darker. That's when Jesus said, let's cross the lake. It's dark. Okay, keep paddling, keep moving. For I am with you. Every valley has one thing in common. They all end. There has never been a night a sunrise has not conquered. There has never been a storm the Son of God can't look at and say, be still. You are not alone. The other side is calling you. In Jesus' name. Number two, you'd worry less if you had less to worry about. How do you like them apples? You'd worry less if you had less to worry about. Verse 37, a furious storm came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. We are surrounded by storms. I wonder how many of the waves that you're letting into your boat are unnecessary. Where God actually never asked you to make that worry your worry. Yes, that storm is real. I never asked you to make that storm your storm. I wonder if you'd worry less if you had less to worry about. What are you letting into your proverbial boat, if you will, into your mind? Because Jesus once said, the eye is the lamp of the body. And if you let in good things, you will fill up with light. But, and let's modernize this, if you scroll and you scroll and you scroll, news and news and news, more and more and more, pretty soon your mind, body, and soul begin to fill up with all the waves of worry that you take in. And what's true about your body is also true with your mind. You are what you eat. And the life that comes out of you tomorrow is simply just made up of all the content you take in today. It's not rocket science. What comes out is made up of what comes in. And so today, if all you let in is 7 episodes of Euphoria, then tomorrow, the life that comes out of you is probably a little bit more black and white, a little bit more hopeless, a little bit more depressed than it was today. If it's just 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours a day of social media, that's what you take in, then the life that comes out of you tomorrow will be one of comparison, which, by the way, steals all of your joy in the process. I'm not even talking like sinful versus not sinful stuff. I'm saying it's true for whatever it is that you take in. That's why I love how Hebrews 12 talks about running your race as if to win the prize. That is your calling in life. And how you need to shake off the sin that entangles you, but then also it gives another category. All just the normal stuff that's slowing you down. In other words, you want to live an uncommon life. Then you need to not let in all the common stuff. You want to live an uncommon calling, that is going to take some uncommon decision making on your patterns and on your habits, and you do not want to be normal in 2024. You do not want to be common in 2024. Depression, anxiety, hopelessness, all normal. Panic attacks, normal. Lack of vision about the goodness of God in your life and in your future, all normal. You cannot tell me that you want to be normal right now. The life that comes out tomorrow is made of the content you let in today. And I wonder if your boat or your mind feels nearly swamped right now because it's on information overload. And you're experiencing what I'll call omniscience fatigue, if that makes sense. Like, you know way too much about everything happening in the world in real time, and you were not designed to be able to handle that. They say knowledge velocity is the rate that all the knowledge in the world doubles. It used to take like 20 years. Today, and I don't even know how this is true, but all the sources say every 12 hours, all the knowledge in the world doubles. I don't even know how that's possible. But I do have a feeling the graph of knowledge velocity looks eerily similar to the graph of anxiety velocity. You're so much more worried because we got so much more to worry about. So where is your attention going? Your attention, the most precious resource that you have to give. Because our attention starts to get skewed and biased in the wrong direction. We ignore all of the unforgiveness and bitterness and anger and grudges in our hearts that's sounding the anxiety alarm in the first place. And that creates more of a brainstorm. And instead, we give all of our attention to all the storms that are all over, which, unlike the unforgiveness in your heart, you can't do nothing about. And that creates more of a brainstorm. I'll say it this way. I wonder if the reason there's such a storm in your mind is because you know about every storm in the world. I wonder if you're so anxious because you know of every reason on the planet that maybe you should be. I wonder if you'd worry less if you had less to worry about. How do you do that? King David wrote this in Psalm 131, 1 and 2. Lord, my heart, I love that he starts with Lord, already implying, you're God, I'm not. My heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But instead, I have calmed and quieted my soul. Sounds like a sound mind. So David was a man before his time. He can relate to you because he wasn't around when there was an iPhone, but he was king. So just like you, he had access, unlimited access to all the information in the known world. And yet David seemed to limit his intake. Did he not? I don't concern myself, God, with things that are above my pay grade, even as king. Translation, I'm not God. I'm just a man. You're the omniscient one. I can't handle omniscience. I can't carry the weight of the entire world. This disaster, that tragedy, drama over here, crisis over there, conflict over there, and everybody's take on it at the same time? Because isn't the temptation in the name of nobility to carry all of it? Or maybe what's pulling the strings behind nobility is control? Doesn't the court of public opinion kind of demand that you do have something to say about everything? And so you're letting all the waves, every wave into your boat, and now you're on information overload, and you're praying for joy, and you're praying for peace, and the big man upstairs is going, I'd love to. I don't got anywhere to put it. Where, look at your mind. Where am I supposed to put peace? You have omniscience fatigue right now. And what David knew, even as king, was this: I was never asked to be God. So because of that, I think this is a Helen Keller quote. She said, I can't do everything, but still I can do something. So that is humility. I'm not God. I can't do everything. And perspective and action. So I will do something. She goes on to say, and because I can't do everything, I will not neglect to do the one thing I can do. In other words, I'm not God, but you better believe I'm going to do what I can do. I'm going to give what I can give. I'm going to post when I can post. I'm going to pray as much as I can. And then at the end of the day, God, I'm going to trust that you have got this whole universe and every soul in it in your hands. You know, anxiety is just your body's way of telling you it's time to pray. So Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I'm going to pray. I'm not going to worry and call it prayer. It's a common pattern for even a lot of Christians. I pray. No, you just worried all day. You need to click and drag that to, have you ever seen my brother's MacBook desktop? You'd just panic. You'd freak out. It's just folders and documents. It's so just cluttered. If that might feel like your mind. Prayer is clicking and dragging one at a time each of those things onto an infinite external hard drive that actually can handle it. Because man, when your mind is cluttered, even the smallest decisions feel like mountains. You might be watching this from home in bed right now because even the decision to get up and come to church felt so big. It's not, but it feels that way because you're cluttered. And, you know, even on the flip side of that, clarity. I Googled sound mind just a couple weeks ago. The very first thing that came up, the clarity of decision making. When you have clarity, even the biggest life decisions, as intimidating and life changing as they may be, there is an ease to it. I've got clarity of vision. And as you do that, let's finish out that verse in Philippians. The peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, which means it's true even when it feels like it shouldn't be, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And that leads me to say this, number three, a sound mind is a promise you practice. Verses 38 and 39, Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? So Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. So he told a storm to knock it off. And a storm goes, okay. Sorry, dude. See, I love this because there's some pretty wealthy and powerful and intelligent people in the world. Nobody can do that. In weather, for all of our accomplishments, weather's kind of like the great equalizer. None of us get a vote for cloudy or sunny tomorrow. God controls all of it. That's why Jesus was sleeping 2 minutes before this, to make a point. You know, Jesus said after he walked out of his tomb that he borrowed and conquered the grave, he said, all the authority in the universe now belongs to me. To which we go, yeah, agreed. But he doesn't stop there. He goes, and I'm giving you some of it. So you have a God-given authority over the 6 inches of space in between your ears. If you can talk yourself into a brainstorm, then by definition, you can sing yourself and preach yourself back into a sound mind. You've been given that authority. That's why I love Sean Johnson. He's my pastor. One of my great friends has battled anxiety, panic attacks, suicidal thoughts, and not 15 years ago. But what I love about Sean, man, he just got this, he stays in the fight. He's got this gritty fighter spirit that anytime anxiety comes, he does not allow it. He has always attacked it. He has always stood on the promises of God and claimed the authority given to him by Jesus. No matter how stormy life might get, a sound mind is possible because a sound mind is a promise that you practice today. And just like Jesus stood at the front of that boat, if you will, with authority, God has given you the ability and authority to kind of stand at the forefront of your mind, quite literally speaking. You have a brain. Here's a picture. Brain and mind, we use those two words interchangeably. They're not the same thing. Your mind lives in your brain. You think about like an iPhone. The hardware is kind of like your brain, and the software inside of it is kind of like your mind. I got a new phone 6 months ago. That's hardware. I updated my software just a few days ago. That's the mind. And they both affect each other. And I forgot my phone. Nate, do you have yours? Can I see that? You don't have a case on this thing? You're crazy, dude. So this is, oh, crap. Sorry, dude. You don't need an update, you need an OtterBox, my friend. This isn't Nate's phone. How many of you have an iPhone without a case? Ray, you shifty, oh my gosh. Get a case. So when it comes to your mind and your brain, they affect each other, okay? So let's get super practical just for a second. Part of practicing a sound mind is taking care of the brain God gave you. And there is a little bit of irony to just, I only eat just processed food, fast food, never exercise, drink that, smoke that, scroll, binge, gossip, and then praying for a sound mind. I don't know that you got a spiritual problem as much as a physical one, rooting back to your daily decisions and your habits to steward your brain. Why do I say steward? Because it's a gift God gave you to take care of. And it's where your sound mind lives. I think we have a responsibility to know what is good for it and what hurts it. All I'm trying to say, if you struggle with anxiety, do you have any idea how much easier it will be for you to attack that anxiety if you break a sweat for 20 minutes a day? Like, you don't just need prayer, you probably need a Peloton. That's such a good mission statement for like a Christian spin class. You just wait for it. You can Venmo me for that. And the front of your brain is something called the prefrontal cortex, your PFC. We'll brief it because we're kind of in the know. PFC, your prefrontal cortex, kind of stands at the front of your brain, much like Jesus stood at the front of the boat, and can observe everything else that's happening in your brain and has authority over it. This is how you can think about what you think about, if you've ever thought about that. This is how you can take thoughts captive. God wouldn't ask you to do something. He didn't first give you a tool to be able to do it. Your prefrontal cortex, this is what makes Romans chapter 12, verse 2 possible for you. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is what makes it possible. I love, man, how scripture written 2,000 years ago is now being proven by neuroscience today. I just think that's the coolest thing in the world. I have a sound mind. And when we sing this song in 10 minutes' time, I want you to notice something about the lyrics, the chorus specifically. It is not a prayer. It's an agreement And if you treat it as a prayer, you will miss the point. The chorus doesn't pray, God, give me a sound mind. The chorus agrees, he gave, past tense, he gave me one. If I could be this bold, you don't need to pray for a sound mind. You need to agree with the fact that it's a promise of God already given to you to practice today. You need to realize what you've already been given. Not a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And that is our call to action, is worship today and agreeing. And a lot of us don't know what to do with that, because when the call to action is simply to pray for a sound mind tomorrow, well, that's a lot easier and safer because it's an idea. But it perpetually just stays one. God, I pray for one. I pray for one. I pray for one. And he's saying, what if you couldn't pray for it? You just had to agree that it was already true regardless of your feelings. See, the reason anxiety and depression don't sit right with you is because that's not what you were given. You were given a sound mind. And you need to realize the authority you have to agree with Jesus and align your life with the current of the kingdom of heaven. Brainstorms might be a pattern of the world. A sound mind is a promise of God. It is a byproduct or fruit of aligning your life with the soundness of Scripture. You agree. I have a sound mind. It is a promise to practice. And then I have two more things I want to share with you in order of importance. And really, everything's been leading to this. And we're going to read just two more verses. What I want you to notice is how not okay the disciples are and how okay Jesus is. And why that's good news for me and probably you. 41 and 40. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him." And he was sleeping 2 minutes before this. You guys, God is so in control. He's so okay. And what that means for you is this. Point four. It's okay to not be okay. This is a universal truth of the kingdom of heaven. He is so good that it's okay for you to not be okay. There is no shame in anxiety. There is no stigma to depression. Not in the kingdom of heaven. There are no second-class citizens in this church. God loves you exactly the way you walked in here today. He's not more in love or more impressed with the future version of you that's not as messy as you are right now. God so loves you today, right now. Your salvation is not in your hands, but in his. Talking to somebody who's making Christianity, once again, so much harder than it has to be for you. You got saved 5 years ago, and now you're working like crazy to keep yourself saved because you feel this every day, and you make the mistake of thinking God operates the same way. He doesn't. He's constant and consistent. He is always good. He is always okay. Which means it's okay if you're not. Your past mistakes do not disqualify you from his future good plans for you. Whatever you've done, you did it. You're not it. Divorce does not depreciate your value. Damage does not define you because it didn't make you. You let your maker be the one who gets to tell you who you are. He is okay. It's okay to not be okay. Let me prove it to you with a rundown of all the Bible heroes that we know and love. Abraham was too old. Josiah was too young. Noah had a drinking problem. Moses killed a dude. Adam and Eve ruined everything. Jacob was a liar. Gideon was afraid. David was an adulterer. Solomon was spoiled. Samson was a flirt, to put it PG-13. Rahab was a prostitute. Mary Magdalene had seven demons. Jonah ran away from God. Peter denied Jesus. Thomas doubted. Paul persecuted the church. Lazarus was dead. Sean's battled anxiety and panic attacks. Ryan's terrified of commitment. Nate doesn't have a case for his iPhone. Ethan's battled fear and insecurity. I've been addicted. I mean, we could just keep going and get everybody in this room. Like, who needs to hear this? Are you not okay? Look right at me. That's okay. Everybody on that list, not only does God love us, he also uses us and calls us. God is so good. He doesn't need your help to save you or redeem you. If he did, what kind of God is that? You don't need to be all okay to start walking in your calling, to get baptized, to pursue your God-given dreams. If that were true, nobody's doing it. All this is, you guys, is imperfect people pursuing a perfect God. In case you're new to this, what you're sitting in right now, just a room of imperfect people just like you who have encountered the life-changing love of a living God the grave could not hold, who is so fine and so good and so okay that it's fine and okay if you aren't. All you have to do is agree. It's called faith. I agree. He died to forgive my sins and rose again to give me new life. My agreement by faith in his grace. That's it. That's where a sound mind begins. Not in your performance or your inconsistency. The grace that saved you is the grace that will sustain you. The one who began the good work in you will carry it on to completion. Let that be the start of a sound mind. You're good. You're not okay? That's okay. It's okay. And then here's where I flip it. And this is just so on my heart for months. This is what I want you tonight when you fall asleep to be thinking. Tomorrow when you wake up to be thinking. Maybe the phrase that changes your life. And I realize this all of 2023 was me on a journey of realizing this. I've got stories for days for another message. But went through some stuff where it's not like I finally got to the other side of the lake I'm crossing or the storm went away, but everything in my boat began to change. Realizing it's okay to not be okay, and here's where we finish. It's okay to be okay, even though you're not yet completely okay. It's okay to be okay, even though you're not yet completely okay. I realized this again just 2 weeks ago. I sat down to write this message and thought, a sound mind. I can't wait to have one of those as soon as I get through this little thing because I'm kind of going through a little thing right now. I don't know if anybody else in here is going through a little thing. And then it was like God as a loving father just spoke to me, not audibly. I'd pee my pants if that happened, but just so clearly impressed on my heart. Hey, buddy, all of life. This is true for you. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but this bad news will lead to freedom for you. All of your life, this side of heaven, is going through a thing. And if you wait until you're through all the things to have a sound mind, you will never live with one in the here and now. It's okay to be okay, even though you're not yet completely okay. You want to know when you'll be completely okay? Heaven. Until then, you're a work in progress. But what's true for you is that you've been given a sound mind. It's okay to agree with that before you make it to the other side of the lake. It's okay to be okay, even though you're not yet completely okay. I'll set it up this way. Ignoring your mental health is terrible for your mental health. And obsessing over your mental health is terrible for your mental health. We got more mental health awareness than we ever have, and more mind storms than we've ever had. Makes you wonder, is mental health awareness kind of like medicine? The right amount heals you and does wonders, but too much makes you nauseous and sick. Think about this pendulum swing. The previous generation had very little mental health awareness. It was like never talked about. Just sweep it under the rug, you'll live. Which isn't fully good. But now, in this generation, is all we ever talk about. And nobody ever hears you'll live. Some of you insulted right away because on surface level, you'll live. That seems like an insult to your image, does it not? It's not. It's a compliment of your character because it references your substance. And it says, there's more God-given grit in you than you know. You're stronger than you realize. God is bigger than you ever imagined. He calls you more than a conqueror. And this thing you're going through, not only will you get through it, you'll be stronger and better for it on the other side that, by the way, is calling you. You got more in you than you know. And man, the spirit of fear. One way I feel like that is playing out for millennials and Gen Z is the spirit of hesitation that is paralyzing a lot of us. You're afraid to try your strength in this world. Because am I ready? Am I completely healed? Am I whole yet? God is so fine. He's so got this. You're stronger than you know. You have more to offer than you realize. Stop hiding your light under a bowl. Stop playing small with your God-given gifts. You can't wait until you're finally just okay to swing at a pitch in this life. You gotta live, man. You gotta find out firsthand that failure will not destroy you unless you quit. Otherwise, failure only teaches you and makes you stronger and better for it. We need you in the game. We need your strength. We need your gifts. We need your calling. For we are partnering with God in the greatest story the universe will ever know. His kingdom come in earth, in Austin, at your place of work, in your sphere, as it is in heaven. You gotta try, man. It's okay to be okay. I'm teaching my 5-year-old Will how to ride a bike. It's been a slow process until I gave him this phrase. Once again, a phrase will change your life. I said, buddy, stop thinking and just ride. You're so in your head. It gets so in his head. I'm like, we already talked about the dangers of the street and everything that could happen, but from now on, the more you think, the more you'll crash, the more you'll convince yourself this whole riding a bike thing isn't for you, and it so is. You gotta ride, bud. You gotta enjoy this gift called life. Young adult, you gotta live. You gotta swing at some pitches. You gotta try your strength. It's okay to be okay, even though you are not yet completely and fully okay. We got a world to change. We got people to reach. We got breaths to enjoy. We have a sound mind to experience that is not a destination on the other side of the proverbial ocean called life from where you are today. It is a current called the kingdom of heaven. A current of truth, a rhythm of grace that you are, it is right here and right now. The only prereq is you simply agreeing that it is. Be mindful of this pendulum swing. What does it look like to embrace the mystery of the middle? In other words, get counseling, do the work, heal the pain. You're worth it. And so are the people in your life, because when you have the guts to do that, they get a better mom and a better dad. Your spouse gets a better partner. We get better friends. When I do that, y'all get a better pastor. You're worth it. This life is worth it. But don't get caught waiting until you are completely okay before you start living this thing called life, man. There's more in you than you know. You gotta ride your bike. You gotta swing at a pitch. Stop hiding. Don't you dare make an idol out of a diagnosis. It's helpful because it helps to explain you a little bit. It is not your identity because it did not make you. You let your maker define you. It is a pattern of the world to make trauma into a trophy. But it is a pattern of the kingdom of heaven to turn trauma into a testimony that gives God glory And he takes it and he does with it so much more than you ever thought could be possible. He is an Ephesians 3:20 kind of God who's in the business of taking problems and things that happen and storms of life that come our way and creates beautiful stories and testimonies. Your story, your storm will become a story that will be part of somebody else's survival kit one day. You gotta live, man. And in the process, you give the kingdom of hell a middle finger as you do, because you have been given a sound mind now, right now. So receive joy and receive peace, not because it makes sense, but because the Spirit of the Lord is here. Receive joy and receive peace, not because you're through all the storms of this world, but because this is a promise of God that you can stand on today and take to the bank. Receive joy, receive peace. Lift up a song of praise, even when you feel the spirit of fear. It's okay to be okay, even though you're not yet completely okay, because you've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Amen. Will you guys stand? So our call to action is worship. This is not a prayer. If you need prayer, we have an amazing prayer team right after service, right there. Would love to pray for you, man. What this moment is an agreement collectively as the body of Christ that a sound mind has already been accomplished. A sound mind is here for the taking today. We align with the kingdom of heaven by simply agreeing that Jesus is telling the truth. So, Father, we love you, and I just pray that you would give us the courage to agree. Give us the confidence to sing this prophetically and tell our futures about your promises and your word. I have a sound mind. Thank you that we've already been given a sound mind. We receive joy. I pray so much of it, like a tidal wave that drowns out any depression or hopelessness in this room. So much peace that floods in that it drowns out any anxiety in this room. God, for anybody who hasn't found hope or experienced it in far too long because there's just dark, stormy clouds that seem to be right overhead, give us the faith to believe that beyond those clouds there is a greater truth called a blue sky that is there right now, even though it's a cloudy day. I pray that, God, some sunlight of hope would move through those clouds and remind us of what is true, that you are good. Therefore, for us, it's okay to not be okay, and it's okay to be okay, even though we're not yet completely okay. You gave us a sound mind, and we receive it in agreement in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's worship.